Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Tulsa Opera opened its final production of the season this past Saturday with one of the grandest of all grand operas, Giuseppe Verdi's Aida. Set in ancient Egypt, Aida tells the story of Radames, the Egyptian captain of the guard, and Aida, an Ethiopian princess held as a slave. Radames falls for Aida. Although he defeats the Egyptians, he must choose between love and love of country. Production stars Adrian Danrich as Aida, Brian Landry as Radames. Today we visit with Tulsa Opera's artistic director, Kostis Protopapas, who's also conducting the opera, for a preview of the performances, which continue next Friday night and Sunday afternoon at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. Kostis Protopapas joins us with a discussion of Tulsa Opera's Aida. Kostis Protopapas, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
A big wrap-up to the season with the opera that can often become spectacle.
Yes.
You know, when you're wanting to do an opera as a spectacle, this is perhaps the opera that you do, but does the spectacle sort of overshadow the beauty of Verdi's music in your mind?
Certainly not in my mind,
yeah.
And certainly not if you know Verdi's music. You know, we live in the time of sound bites where you want to hear a minute or two of something and then you sort of think that you're acquainted with it. Verdi's music can't be summed up by the triumphal march of Aida or by everybody's favorite aria or from whatever is on the compilation CD any more than Shakespeare can be summed up by to be or not to be. That's the question. The more you know the works, the more of them you know, and the more you hear them and see them performed, the more you get out of the experience, and the more in-depth, you go, and the more it means. Verdi was, the 200 years of his birth we're celebrating in 2013, is perhaps the greatest opera composer. He is the one that was the most profound dramatist that told meaningful stories through music. Everything that Verdi did was tell powerful stories through music. And he did ultimately what drama is supposed to do, illuminate the human experience. And he did that in all of his works, certainly in all of his mature works. And as a scholar wrote, the opera is about superlative states of being. Everything in opera is wrought large. Opera is sort of like a stress test. You watch people function under extreme circumstances. That's why often opera plots are so exaggerated, you might say. She threw the wrong baby in the fire. Or his longtime sworn enemy turns out to be his brother. Those things, if you take them isolated, they seem rather absurd. But, look at some situations in real life. Killed by an explosion at the end of a marathon. That is very absurd, and that is real life. So life, a lot of times, is difficult, and what great drama does, and I think great opera, is you watch these people undergo some very, very difficult situations, and that's sort of where the enrichment comes.
I think in the case of Verdi, his plots, while they are writ large, as you suggest, they're more realistic. They're not necessarily verismo, as Puccini would do, but they're very much more realistic than your typical opera plot. The idea behind Aida, here is an Ethiopian princess who was captured as a slave. Radames is in love with her because she's so beautiful. He goes off. They fight a war. The king wants his daughter back. He invades. He loses. They're all captured. Radames has this love for this woman that overpowers, ambition and other things in his life.
Exactly. And so what makes it perhaps on first encounter seem grand and somewhat larger than life and perhaps somewhat detached is, the fact that it takes place in ancient Egypt. Sometimes the historical divide is something that, we hesitate to, overcome, and that it's a made-up story. So the fact that these people are placed in ancient Egypt and that they live, among these oversized castles and that they wear these incredible costumes or that they have these incredible voices doesn't mean that they don't have real humanity.
And there's an essentially human story at its heart.
Exactly. So that's it. It's a very human story that is blown up large so that everybody can experience the impact and you can examine it up close. And in the case of Aida, obviously, going back to the sound bites, if you've seen Aida once, or if you even heard about Aida, or if you've seen a couple of clips on YouTube, usually what you're familiar with is the great triumphal scene at the end of Act Two that has a ballet, huge crowd of choristers.
Yeah, you can make it a cast of thousands if you want.
Exactly.
And elephants oftentimes.
Yeah, often, exactly. The elephants and
no
the
elephants
camels.
In this
no, there are no animals in this production. And neither is it a requirement that Verdi made. I doubt that there were any animals in the first performance. It's something that was, added later because as we became, we like the opera world, likes to do things. Size matters, and you want to make it as, as grand as possible. So sure, if you have the capability to throw in some elephants, but that's not what opera is about, and certainly not what this opera is about. It has, that scene really meets the eye with unprecedented power. And that's why it's sort of what you remember, but the real drama is in several, in fact, there's great drama in that scene as well. There's political drama in it, as is in many Verdi operas. There's a lot that Verdi put in Aida that he had learned and practiced while writing Don Carlo, the opera before that. That's a great historical drama with great political overtones written by Schiller. Verdi learned a lot writing Don Carlo, and a lot of it transfers into Aida. It just doesn't seem, just because it's in mythical times and because these people are Egyptian, somehow we don't think it's as relevant. But even in that scene, there's a lot of political topics and there's personal, turmoil, but then ultimately there are a lot of more intimate scenes, like the Nile scene, where's the duet between Aida and her father. Her father is trying to manipulate her into getting the secret out of her lover, Radames, and she's torn between her love for him and her love for her fatherland. And then the duet between him and her, and how these people are put in this incredibly difficult situation. And they have to make choices, and that's where the real drama is. So you have to know those words and experience them in their entirety to really appreciate how much they have to say about life. It's not just about the spectacle.
Amneris is another character like this. This is the daughter of Pharaoh, or the leader of Egypt, and she expects to marry the hero, which is Radames, who's won the great victory against the Ethiopians. But Radames loves Aida. What is her vengefulness in this? And, of course, as it turns out, it's quite a bit.
at least the way the story is, and I believe, because Verdi was one of the things that I think is really amazing about Verdi is his humanity in portraying his characters. He really feels for the people in his operas. And I think Amneris really loves Radames. He does not return her love. She certainly has a sense of entitlement because she is the daughter of the Pharaoh. She does not understand why would that man be in love with anybody else but her. She gets really angry. She sets this revenge in motion, and then she regrets it. She tries to save him. And at the end, in fact, when Aida and Radames end up dying, buried alive, the two of them have found peace. They're together. It's almost the final scene is redemption. We don't see two people dying a horrible death. We see two people that have risen above it all. And it's Amneris that is left asking the gods for peace. She's the one that has the unhappy ending in a way. So there's tremendous nuance. And of course, there is outside of Aida, Radames, and Amneris, there's also the political level of the king and the high priest. The king that is torn between, the high priest, who is also his chief advisor, tells him that you have to put your enemies to the sword. And these captives here, if you let them go, they will turn against you. But he, on the other hand, he has his people that are asking for pity and for compassion. There's a great human element in that scene with the crowds where the people listen to the priests that are asking for revenge, and they listen to the Ethiopian prisoners pleading for their lives, and the people, the popolo, as it's marked in the score, vote for pity, for compassion. They ask their king to forgive. So there is not only the personal tragedies of the main characters, but there's just real humanity, even in those people in the chorus.
Before we talk about your cast, let's talk a little bit about the political situation, because, Verdi, very instrumental in unifying Italy. I mean, these stirring scores, the triumphal march, became almost a theme for Italian unification. This was a time when Italy was a series of states and sort of unifying. Is there any of that in this music?
Absolutely. I think Verdi was very much a man of his times. I think the reason Verdi's operas are so powerful, so deep, and so important is because Verdi himself brought so many things together, obviously a musical genius, but also he had had a very difficult life, personal tragedy included, but also found himself in a very tumultuous historical time where Italy was broken up between independent states. A lot of them were under foreign rule, various different foreign rules, and they were struggling for independence and unification. And, especially, in that part of the world, the Mediterranean, people have a hard time, unification does not come easy. So there were civil wars and there were invaders and there were occupiers. And Verdi gave poetic voice to this desire for independence. There is not really a lot of literature in Italy in the 19th century other than the opera libretti. And there is not a whole lot of music other than opera. Part of the reason is that opera was the main vehicle of poetic expression for the Italian language. All those Italians, the one thing they had in common was their language, because they each belonged to a different state, they were under different foreign rule. The only thing that they had in common to unite them as a people, other than, obviously religion, was their language. So the Italian unity found its voice in opera, and Verdi was the man who ended up being the chief spokesperson. And he wrote all of his operas. Obviously, he had strong political feelings himself. He had strong social ideas, and he brought all those to bear in his operas by using often historical themes, often mythical themes. Don Carlo, about the King of Spain and the Grand Inquisitor and what happened there with the royal dynasty in Spain. Mm-hmm. About, opera about Simon Boccanegra, what happened in Genoa with the first Doge. So many political themes, and even as early as Nabucco, the chorus of Hebrew slaves that everybody knows, the Va Pensiero, was essentially a covert national anthem for the Italians that were, as the Hebrews are speaking of their lost fatherland, it's really the Italians that are pining to build their own homeland on their own soil. And that's why Verdi
And it's became, still sung today that way, too.
Exactly. That's why in Italy the audience sings along whenever that opera is being given. Even the people who were protesting for Italian independence would use Verdi's name as an acronym for Vittorio Emanuele, Re d'Italia, Victor Emmanuel, King of Italy. Yeah. Verdi became was one of the first members of Cavour's parliament, the first Italian parliament. So a really deep-thinking man with great life experience of his own, that put his musical genius to work to really tell something about humanity and about his times and
about the people, first people seeing this opera.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
My guest today is Kostis Protopapas, the artistic director of Tulsa Opera and conducting Tulsa Opera's production of Giuseppe Verdi's Aida at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. Before we talk about the cast, let's hear a little music from Verdi's Aida. We're going to hear one of the great arias. This is Aida, I think it's second act or maybe first act. I'm not sure.
This is her first act aria, Torna Vincitore.
Yeah.
There has been this big scene in which Radames is acclaimed to lead the Egyptian army against the onslaught of the Ethiopians. And Aida is the captive Ethiopian princess. She's in love with Radames, so she's obviously torn. And everybody at the end of that scene sings Ritorna Vincitore, which means return victorious, and Aida is carried away and sings along, so this gives occasion after everybody exits for her to sing these arias, saying, what did I just say? How could I wish that he is victorious against my own people? And that's sort of the first glimpse of the human aspect of this story about essentially having divided loyalties.
Now, at this point, we already know that Radames loves Aida, Celeste Aida, but
yes.
Ritorna Vincitore sort of gives us a new sense of the drama
exactly.
of this what will eventually be a tragedy.
Exactly.
Well, let's hear music. This is actually from the cast.
We exactly. have a Adrian little bit Danrich singing Ritorna Vincitore from our production of Aida.
Thank you.
That's music from Aida, which will be performed with my guest today, Kostis Protopapas. Tell us a little bit about your cast.
I couldn't be more pleased with my cast. You know, casting a Verdi opera is not an easy task, and it's not something you take lightly. You need so many things in your Verdi singers, because obviously they have to have large voices, because these operas require powerful sound. Aida is a big opera. It's larger in a way than most other operas you'll see. And the size of the voice is very important. So you need people with big voices, with stamina, because those roles are long. And you also, of course, need beautiful voices. It's not enough that they be loud. You also have to be pleasing to the ear. But even more so, they have to have the ability to modulate their voices, and they have to be able to convey more than the tune. They have to be able to convey the character. They have to be able to convey those, all the emotions that those characters undergo, and they have to be able to carry Verdi's very human message. So these voices have to be produced without constraint. They have to seem effortless so that you believe that those things are actually real. They have to meet your ear as someone that is speaking to you. I believe I have a cast of real Verdians in this one, in Adrienne Danrich, who is making her Tulsa opera debut as Aida. I've enjoyed working with her immensely in, you know, how musical she is, how she can shape a phrase, how she's not afraid to sing softly when that is required. She has a great dynamic range and really, really beautiful voice. You know, she really draws you in and she makes you care for her. Our Radames is Brian Landry, who has been a studio artist with us before, but he is making a major debut with this role, and his voice was really built for this repertoire.
That's got to be great to see a person who's really started his professional career with Tulsa Opera, and now he's coming back singing a leading role.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's rare to find a tenor whose voice is really built for this repertoire, that does not strain, that has a big voice, that is a beautiful voice. It's heroic, but it's also, again, it can be tender. It can be heartbroken and heartbreaking. It can be tender, it can be angry, it can be all those different things. So a real Verdi singer there, we have a real winner in Brian Landry. A great friend of Tulsa Opera, Dana Beth Miller, plays Amneris. She was with us for Don Quixote. She played Abel Dulcinée. She has an incredibly powerful voice. Again, Amneris, one of the most difficult roles in the repertoire. It's very high for mezzo-soprano and also needs to carry that authority of the princess, but also you have to hear the heartbreak that comes in the third and fourth act. So Dana Beth is real perfect for that role. And then Peter Linskog, who has been with us for several productions, is playing Amonasra, the father of Aida, great baritone. Every time he comes back, his voice has blossomed more and more. It's a great role for him, role debut. He's never sang it before. And two very fine basses, Harold Wilson, and Michael Ventura have been with us before, playing Priest Ramphis and the King of Egypt. And also in two smaller roles, studio artists, Stefan Barner is playing the Messenger and Fina Hackett is playing the High Priestess. Also very substantial voices. You know, the smaller roles sometimes is hard to keep up with the big guys. Fina and Stefan are just every bit as exciting as the people with the longer roles.
So. You might not sing very long, but you have to match them power for power.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, anyway. If you're only going to get 32 bars to shine, you better be good. So,
Well, you have several people doing these first-time roles. What is the process of getting into the character? And I mean, certainly they have the music preparation, you know. They know a lot about their character coming in, but you obviously have to make a character a cast.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it is chemistry, and some of it is, you know, frankly, some of it is luck. I know what I like in the voices that I hire. So I hire singers that I just sort of feel they can inhabit those roles, both physically and vocally. And then the chemistry between them is something that just, you know, you have to be a little bit lucky. Sometimes you may hire two wonderful singers, but when you put them together, the sparks don't fly as much. I have a cast that has very similar musical sensibilities. They are all very well versed in the repertoire. They have it in their ear. They have it in their body. So that you have to know how this music goes. I mean, sure, you can coach it somebody for a long time. You can explain it, but some people just have a feeling for it. And so, actually, I think it's only Brian that is doing the role for the first time, and Peter. Dinabeth and Adrian. Adrian has done Aida once before, and Dinabeth has done Amneris a couple of times. So we had 3 days of music rehearsal in which we really went deep into the score, and then we had a 2-week staging rehearsal process, and we have a terrific director in Stanley M. Gardner, who coincidentally directed the last Aida here in 1997, that gave them singer-friendly staging, staging that brings the story to life, but doesn't get in the way of the singing, and also it doesn't try to read things into the story that are not there. Staging that really allows the performers to be real people on stage. So we, through that process, we even worked on the music, and I've had a great time working with this cast because it just, the musical relationships are very natural. Maybe perhaps they feel the music the way I do, so I think it's easier, I think it's good. but we've had, we really, every single rehearsal, even the ones that, you know, they weren't singing full out and they were marking, we were really making music together. And they just, their choices are always very natural and very logical. They listen to each other incredibly well. I mean, Adrian and Brian have a couple of duets, and, you know, the synergy and the way the overtones work together and the way they listen to each other and the way they feed off of each other and they finesse a phrase is remarkable. The way that, you know, you don't have in the triumphal scene, you don't have just a group of people that are trying to sing louder than everybody else. There's real musicality in every moment in this cast.
So, of course, I always think of this as being a great choral opera as well.
Yes, and for that reason, we are collaborating with the Tosa Oratorio Chorus, so we have a chorus of almost 80 people. Mm-hmm. And this has been a great collaboration. I think the TOC people have had a great time working with us, and they're doing a terrific job. It's just so empowering and so humbling to see so many people on the stage being so engaged by the music. We've had quite a bit of time to work on music, so we went into quite a bit of depth about the style, nuance. Yes, we have the big scenes, but it's not all loud. A lot of it is very, I mean, if you've heard the Verdi Requiem, which is a great choral work, there's a lot of that in Aida, and just bringing out the nuances, being able to, you know, make music on that level with so many people is just immensely gratifying, and they're really doing a terrific job.
Oh, well, we look forward to the results. Tulsa Opera presenting Giuseppe Verdi's Aida at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. My guest, Kostis Protopapas, Artistic Director of Tulsa Opera. He'll be also conducting the production. And I think, as a conductor, this is probably one of those ones you really look forward to because, you know, you talk about the nice, subtle things, but there's something about having 100 voices, you know, singing at you with a full orchestra, you know, blaring in some of the loud moments of this opera where it can be thrilling.
Oh, absolutely. It is exhilarating, and it's just the emotion of so many people, musicians in the pit and singers on stage, raising their voices, their actual voices, or metaphorically, the voices of their instruments, and just hearing everything ring together, and also towards the purpose of telling that story together, is really amazing. It's just the energy that is produced when everything is in sync and the overtones are working together, and everybody is feeling the same. A lot of it is, you know, in conducting large groups of people, is communicating and channeling a certain level of energy that you want to, and I think communicating an emotion, so just feeling that you can communicate that emotion and people feel it at the same time and produce that sound is an incredible experience, very humbling.
Yeah, well, we look forward to the results. And of course, this is a big opera. You mentioned Stanley Gardner's staging, which is singer-friendly. You probably have to have big sets, big costumes for this.
Absolutely.
Sort of thing.
Yeah, because this is probably the largest set we've had in a long time. The trucks are unloaded, I always ask how did the loading go and how's the set? And the first answer I got is it's large. it's a very large set, very, very imposing. It has that atmosphere that you expect. For Aida, it really, I don't know if you've been to Egypt, to Luxor and the Temple of Luxor and Karnak. This is just, you know, you walk into the temple and it's just really overwhelming awe. Yeah. You know, it's just everything is huge. So our set is sort of like that.
Yeah, statues that are like 40, 50 feet
exactly.
Tall.
We have one of those. we have those walls that those big stone walls that sort of are leaning in on the top. So you sort of have the sense of this world, this ancient world that's kind of closing in on you. It's really awe-inspiring. Really beautiful costumes from A.D. Jones in Baltimore. In fact, some of them, I almost thought that some of them are a little too opulent. But it's just really, really just beautiful. It's just something, a feast for the eye, really. We have also, I should mention, seven dancers from Tosa Ballet 2 in choreography by Mark Hong that are really doing a really fantastic job. They have three dancers. One of them is in the Triumphal March, one of them is in the Temple scene, and one of them is in the Amner's Chamber scene. And each one of has a different personality. The Temple dance is very, very sort of mystical. The dance in the Amner's Chamber is very sexy, and the Triumphal March is just a big sort of tour de force, and they're doing a really terrific job. And we have 24 supers, which are the extras, if you will,
spear
carriers, and armies, are playing the army on stage. And of course, we have the on stage Verdi trumpets that everyone expects, and it's a real feast for the eyes. Everything you expect from grand opera really is there.
And it is a great grand opera. We wish you great success with the production of Verdi's Aida next Friday and Sunday. Kostis Protopapas, thanks very much for joining
us. Thank you for having me.
Tulsa Opera Artistic Director Kostis Protopapas speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. Tulsa Opera presents Giuseppe Verdi's Aida Friday night at 7:30, Sunday afternoon at 2:30 at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. For ticket information, call 918-587-4811 or tulsaopera.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.